I'm Jerwin Gabriel Santiago.
And I'm Elizabeth Wayne.
And we've never been wrong, ever.
This week, The Bling Ring and Nightcrawler.
Will they go to heaven or hell?
We'll decide. Welcome to... Rapture.
These are hard to chew.
I know. Well, they're chewable Toms.
I like these better than the ones that are literally gay chalk.
Well, that's why I got them, because they're not expired, are they?
Dude.
No, 10/26.
I'm like, they can't expire. These can't expire.
Everything expires. Except honey.
I'm literally about to sound like a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, those are made by the government.
Do you actually think?
It's weird. That's actually one of the immigrant things that I don't have. Like, mm-hmm. I actually am, like, I really swear by expiration dates.
Yeah.
But, like, most of the time it's just, like, fine. Especially with, like, Tylenol or, like,
Advil. Yeah.
I'm like, well, that expired. Yeah, it's not going to be as strong, yeah. I guess, but.
That's the thing. It's not bad. It just isn't as strong.
Yes.
That's the fuck of it all.
It's not going to, like, kill you.
No.
That's what I feel like expiration dates are. Yeah. They're fear mongers. That's what they are.
I know, because they don't want you to like sue their ass.
Right. It's caution, like, hot on the coffee,
yeah,
cup.
Well, yeah.
Which is one of the most beautiful stories. Like,
well, did you know she actually got like third degree burns
on her face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Horrifying.
That, and like, yeah, you better get like $1 billion from McDonald's.
I know. Do you know how much she got?
Do you know the number?
No, I was asking you.
I think it is in the millions.
Wow.
For sure. Class action.
I know. Change the world.
I mean, she set a precedent. Now her life lives on every coffee cup now.
Yeah.
Which
that
is huge.
Cathedrals, again, for those with eyes to see.
I'm actually getting full body chills thinking about like her kids being like, yeah, can I get a coffee? Did you know that my mom's the reason why?
Hey, mom. Hey.
My great grandmother actually. She was the woman who was caution hot.
Like, this poor old lady. Like, I felt so bad. I wasn't alive, but.
But I have empathy for the times that I wasn't alive.
Because I'm a woman, I have empathy.
For example, I have a lot of sympathy for Mary Shelley.
Yeah. Wait, I was kind of reading up on her.
She has had a crazy life, right?
That crazy chica.
My God, put the pizza rolls back, Mary Shelley. Like, for real.
What is your favorite part about her life?
Well, like, wasn't she not writing under her name for quite some time?
I don't know. I did a skim of the Wikipedia.
Which is, by the way, top 5 websites, Wikipedia.
Well, and now in this era of misinformation,
Mr. Information, more like, because men would lie to you. Women, on the other hand.
Women never lie.
Unless they're psychosexually trying to manipulate you, in which case, go off.
Unless they're a little cheeky.
If they're British, they the lie. Playful lies. Jokes only.
Jokes only. Yeah. Whatever.
No, I thought that she was, like, not, like, writing under her name for a while.
Maybe her husband's
name. Maybe I'm thinking of F.
Scott
Fitzgerald. Maybe I'm thinking of the Fitzgerald woman.
Oh, yeah, who wrote his stuff.
Yeah.
I read a book about her.
I'm like, the vehement, like, rage behind your voice there, like,
well,
your tonal shift.
There's a lot of women who throughout history who are the actual reason behind famous men.
Yeah, and, like, great literary works, mm-hmm. or, like, art.
Her, Jackson Pollock's wife.
Yeah, his art seems pretty easy, though. No.
Yeah, but she created it. She created it.
Oh, a bitch. A bitch dropped a can of paint, and he was like, "You're a fucking bitch."
Yeah, no, like, literally.
You dropped that, and now he's like,
"He's like, wait,
I can't." He's like,
icon.
We're gonna turn this into something. We're gonna turn your fucked up mistake into something.
Well, because the CIA, he was kind of an industry plant from the CIA.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they put money behind his career.
Oh, as propaganda. Mm-hmm. Mm. Did you know that Stan Lee and Dr. Seuss were part of the same World War II, like, I don't know what you call your like people at war together.
Oh, infantry. Yeah.
They were in the same like.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, brothers.
They were
band of brothers.
They were apparently part of the like the literal propaganda, the war propaganda.
Wait. Thing.
They were like making like art for ads together.
Oh, they weren't like fighting.
No, I don't think that they were like boots on the ground holding guns, but they were part of the same like.
Okay.
They worked on like art for the like military campaigns.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that.
Which is crazy. I'm like, Stanley, yeah, that's one of the oldest guys ever. You know Yoko Ono was born in 1930?
Is she still alive?
I don't know.
I think she is.
I went to her exhibit at the...
I know. How was it?
The MCA. It was so stunning. Cried several times.
Yeah.
And I was like, at first disappointed because I don't like seeing those like big retrospectives mm-hmm. Of like artists that I frankly don't give a fuck about.
Yeah.
But I like sat in the listening room and I was like, I don't even like her music like that, but this is a really cool like way to consume
music. Right, just being surrounded by like I like the retrospectives because you are so in the world of mm-hmm. the artist that I think it makes you seeing everything side by side kind of mm-hmm. how it's meant to be seen is like really beautiful.
Yeah, and I would not have liked the art that I had seen had I not known it was from like the 1960s
or, right
because it was like some Wonder Museum ass shit. It was like it was a canvas with Museum a hole in the middle. Cream. Legit, I'm serious, Yoko Ono, like, there's blood on your hands, girl. Because there was, like, this one painting. Like, she had, like, instructions for all of her installations mm-hmm. that the, like, art museum just does for her. Mm-hmm. And one was, like, shake hands through this painting. Like, it's kind of, like, dumb stuff like that. But then there was this one section that was, like, a bunch of broken, like, plates, porcelain cups and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, there was, like, rolls of tape and twine. And you could... were instructed to like mend the broken pieces together and then put them on the shelf for display, and like several of them randomly made me cry.
Really? Oh, that is kind of like,
that message is beautiful, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, I cried. Yeah.
Seeing how people choose to go about the same task,
right,
is really interesting.
It's like you are studying their mind, their mm-hmm. psychology. There was like two handles for mugs. And somebody had, like, put them together to be a heart.
Aww.
With, like, twine. And I was, like, the twine was kind of, like, like frayed. And I was, like, this is so beautiful.
That, yeah.
This was, like, not the intended purpose for these materials. And then, like, people, like, put them back together.
Yeah.
I'm, like, that was cool. Shrooms me with cry.
You look like you're tearing up like, right now.
Well, it's, like, it feels like a beautiful thing.
I know.
The thing is, like, mend these with love as we should with everything.
Aww.
I'm, like, ugh.
It's so funny because she's, like, really not a loving person in her life.
That tweet that's like, girl, get over it. Like, John's been dead for... Girl, shut up.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
The tweet that's like, no one talks about how hard it is for people with ADHD to do a Halloween costume. You people can't do anything.
But yeah, I love the MCA. There was mm-hmm. also an exhibit about, like, the ACT UP. Like Chicago's ACT UP thing during the AIDS movement.
Oh, okay.
Like their chapter of ACT UP.
Wow.
Here. Really, really cool.
I should go. I haven't gone in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like not interactive art things, but like mm-hmm. I mean, modern art is like hit or miss.
Yeah, there was this like gay ass thing in the middle that was like, a performance will be activated here Sunday evenings and Thursday mornings. I was like, and the performance, by the way, is people take their shoes off and writhe around in a bag.
Right. Like
a black canvas bag. They can be doing anything under there. I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm so sorry. That is fucking gay.
You can't make me buy into it.
I saw that and I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I have a lot of appreciation for artists and
right.
art school, you know, yeah. and whatever. Mm-hmm. You got to take it with a grain of salt sometimes. You know?
Oh my gosh. There's like, for every person who pays tuition at SEIC, like, it's probably like one in 1 million that are good.
And that's the fuck of it all, you know?
It's unfortunately a lottery system as well. It's not about talent.
No!
It's like you're in line and if your number gets called, like, congratulations, you're like the voice of your generation.
SAIC doesn't do grades, right? I think
great. I bet not.
No, I think they do some weird, like,
it's like aura points
because art is subjective. aura points.
I'm like, I'm so sorry. Art is subjective, I guess, but not entirely, right?
No, coming from the daughter of two art professors, art is not subjective.
No, art, yeah. I'm like, there's actually like pretty rigid things that, for art to be good.
Yeah,
that you have to,
yeah,
that you do have to follow. Not like golden ratio, but
let's
like
not pretend.
Like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, some people just like legit should be marketing managers. Like,
it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Though, like, there are some artists where I'm like, I wish you got one shot by ayahuasca.
Like, wait, what?
One shot by ayahuasca. That, like, that tweet that's like, some of the most normal ass people will go to ayahuasca, take the drugs, and like come back.
Yeah,
and they're,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
completely shells, yeah, of themselves, yeah, yeah, because they like couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't like see God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're disappointed in themselves. Yeah. Okay. I see it.
Don't know how we got there, but
yeah, I that's a whole other discussion.
I'm like, whatever,
dude, that's a whole other discussion.
I'm like, let's go back to funner stuff. What have you been logging on Letterboxd,
dude?
Let's do a quick pulse check on our Letterboxd.
Yeah. Oh my god, should we make a Rapture Letterboxd?
I think sorry, my niece just did a play. My cousin sending me pictures.
That is so adorable. Wait, let me see.
She was a villager in Beauty and the Beast.
Starring role.
Well, you know, she did get one of the lines in not Be Our Guest.
Oh.
Okay, this sucks. She was a villager and servant. I'm sorry. Oh. Let her be Belle.
And let my niece be Belle.
My gay ass walking in there. Yeah. Let her be Belle one night. Okay, let her be Belle for the matinee. Fuck. I will not have her be servant.
That's so cute. At yes, least servant villager.
I'm like, at least let her be the fucking gay candle.
Yeah. let's see. 2025 movies, 76 movies so far.
76. First watches or?
First watches, yeah. I only log first watches.
Me too.
First movie of the year, Pirates of the Caribbean.
That is so special.
Curse, I'm like, of the Black Pearl.
Oh, I can't see my list of movies in order because I rank them.
Oh.
You just do them
by date.
Yeah.
Because I can remember time and place of wherever I was watching these.
What was your last watched?
Nightcrawler.
Oh my gosh, wait, I didn't log it.
I gave it 4.
I think I would do the same.
Yeah. But like, new one, Frankenstein, Begonia. Mm-hmm. The new I Know What You Did Last Summer, dude. So wait. Bad.
Oh, fuck. I can't wait. That's so good. So
bad. Because you know the originals,
love,
right?
Love the original.
You're going to be picked.
I'm going to be picked. You're going to be pissed.
But Freddie Prinze Jr., yeah. Hi. I mean,
one of the... We have to actually make a list of highs. One episode that's just a list of highs.
Every high we mention. Hi.
Well, it was so bad.
I can't even.
It was just, were they retelling the story? From
they
the
were,
first one?
It was like, I mean, the dialogue was just horrible, predictable. But what they do with some of these characters, mm-hmm, you're going to be mad. Yeah, you're going to be mad.
Oh,
yeah.
They non-binaried two of them.
No, I can't say because it'll spoil.
Oh, shit.
I can't. I need you to watch it like tonight or tomorrow.
That is hard because, I mean, like, even the original is a bad movie.
But it's fun at least.
I mean, like, it benefits from being from like 2006 or whatever.
97.
What? Yeah.
And they talk about the Southport Massacre of 97.
Oh, so it's kind of meta.
Yeah, it's kind of like the new Screams in a way.
Just so gutter.
It's a little good.
Make a fun movie. You know that Kreger guy is really bringing some fun stuff to horror. The weapons guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, more barbarians, please.
Please.
I think that creature feature is probably my new favorite genre of horror.
Okay, like what?
I mean, Frankenstein, the original creature feature, it feels. I really like Nope.
I haven't seen it.
People fucking hate Nope.
Really?
Yeah, it's probably his, like, worst movie.
Okay.
Like, I bet on Letterboxd it's scored probably lower than Get Out, and but I don't like Get Out that much.
Yeah, I like it for... I think it's a good movie.
It definitely is a good movie.
But and I think it changed the genre.
It suffers from the thing that we were talking about earlier, where it's like, if enough men tell me that a movie is good, I will begin to hate it.
Right, out of spite.
Yeah.
Well, and Allison Williams...
Well, I mean, evil. I mean, like, she is good in that genre. Megan. She's like, she has cemented herself as a horror girl.
Yeah.
I kind of wouldn't want to see her in like a rom com.
She was just in a rom com.
And it was probably uncharming. Yeah. She was probably completely off putting in it.
Stiff.
Not that she's not like asexual to me or like something. She's just
a little asexual.
She feels sterile to me. Like Marnie's the perfect role because she's not a sexual being. She's like an antisocial loser. Yeah.
And okay, 15 minutes in talking about girls.
Yeah. Like clock it.
Yeah, okay, Frankenstein,
Nope is a creature feature.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's like it's just so fun to see, like, monster design. I was a big Face-Off kid.
What's that?
It was a reality TV program about prosthetic makeup.
Ooh!
So they would, like, design... They would have different, like, challenges that are, like, design, like, an under-the-sea monster.
Yeah.
Or, like, this one's, like, a slasher, like...
That's so cool.
And
a lost art. Well, it's going to be a lost art. Oops.
Well, super because CGI, will take it away from us completely.
Yeah.
But I'm like, the minds behind just like sculpting a new face for somebody is so cool.
And the makeup in Frankenstein was awesome.
Yeah, I definitely could have seen a little bit more of him.
Hi. But
that's his personal preference.
Yeah.
The funniest shit ever is Victor Frankenstein, you're such a faggot because what do you mean you made the perfect man and it's Jacob Elordi?
Well, I'm just thinking like he had to pick out all the
parts.
All the parts.
I really wonder, you know, was he cut?
Dude, Gray said that Oscar Isaac looked like Countess Luann.
Oh, they were doing that to his hair.
The fuck-ass haircut kind of distracted me a little bit.
Right, but Oscar Isaac will always be...
He was good.
Top 50 highs.
Yeah.
His movie choices sometimes...
Left to be desired.
A lot, yeah.
He was doing a little bit of too much theater acting for me.
As Victor Frankenstein?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's actually a nightmare to have to deliver that monologue at the beginning where he's, like, explaining to the room of men in wigs.
Yeah.
Science. Yeah. I'm like, he's, like, throwing that ball in the air. I'm like, oh my God, Steve Jobs ass.
Yeah.
Like, and moment. We're gonna
change the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not like that, but it was obviously essential to the story.
It wouldn't make sense much without that.
But I think that the wigs in that scene were so funny. I'm like, you're telling me that y'all were putting those bust downs on?
I know. Gay.
There's
70-inch Donatella bust downs.
Yes, and then the hats. That's the other thing that I really wanted to bring up. The hats that Mia Goth was wearing in this movie
were
absolutely incredible.
I thought she was good.
I still struggle with... I know that she's a good actress because of Pearl.
Yeah.
And that role itself is dream role.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I mean.
And nobody else, I don't think, would have done it as well as her.
No.
The horror in her face.
In Pearl.
Yeah. When she wants to be a star. Like, that is unmatched. She has a face card that's unmatched. She's peerless.
She's peerless in the face department. In the browless department, yes. She's peerless.
I loved her facial acting in Frankenstein, and she did that thing that was like, I'm like doing method acting but with kindness. Like she nurtured Jacob Elordi throughout the process to like, you know, just like learn how to like care for somebody deeply.
Right.
But she was like, I sent him ginger shots and pizza. I'm like,
hi.
Touch my butt and call me pizza or whatever.
What parts in the movie made you cry?
When he's like delicately taking each leaf and then like setting it free.
I know that almost got me.
When he's chained up.
I know.
And he is like delicately bringing things into the world. Yeah, out of a birthing canal.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
Well, and then, I mean, when the tower is getting blown up, he literally gets birthed out because he goes down the canal.
Wow.
And, like, out of a hole.
Wow.
Pretty on the nose.
Pretty on the nose, but clearly not because I didn't pick it up.
It wasn't clapping to you.
I was a little overwhelmed with feeling really bad for him.
Right. You know? The guilt was, like, heavy on you.
The leaves were making me really sad.
The leaves were, yeah.
It reminded me of Chicken in a way. You know, where it's just, like, sometimes when I see him playing with his spring by himself, I get really sad.
Oh, like, that's his interior. Like, that's his world. Yeah. I saw this, like, AI slop video about, like, when dogs are about to pass away, they look at you in the face to study your face.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, I don't know how much psychology is actually behind that, but it made me sad.
Do you think that's true?
Yeah. I mean, the animal's like, yeah.
Well, the AI said it.
It was also just, like, a really, like, weird, like, CGI rendering where they didn't put any, like, flesh on any of the beings. Like, the dog was like a grid.
Okay.
It was like, I can't even begin to explain it. It was really unsettling.
Yeah.
I like the idea that maybe as a dog is like getting ready to pass away, it like looks at you.
Yeah, because you're its whole world. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That could make me cry.
Okay.
Well, that's how Frankenstein felt too. It's like you're like, I mean, cycles of violence.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also like looking at Victor Frankenstein at the end being like, dude, like, you did make me, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I have to forgive you.
Right, because ultimately, like, though I can't die, which nightmare.
Right.
Props to you.
When
I'm here now.
When, is it Christoph Waltz?
Mm-hmm.
When Christoph Waltz is like, put me in the body.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac line reading, top three line readings of this. No! It felt so, like...
That was so funny. And then he had syphilis. It was so funny.
Yeah, his wig covering up all his fucking scabs. He's like, tomorrow morning I will wake up.
Yeah.
I will go crazy.
I will go crazy tomorrow morning. I'm like, how do you know tomorrow morning?
Right.
Random.
I'm like, this feels randomly urgent. This expository information feels so urgent.
Yeah, right. It's like, okay, something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Ew,
and he died in the most disgusting, when he picks up the head and it's completely, because it's soft from the syphilis.
I know. Like, what a fucking nightmare to live back then, and you get syphilis and you die a slow, painful death.
Well, what was the quote that he said too was like, the most beautiful way to describe it was like, one night with Venus.
In a lifetime with Mercury. Because he also probably had mercury poisoning.
Yeah, because he...
Like, those fucking idiots, bro.
I was like, but they did come up with the most poetic ass thing. I know. To be like, I'm gonna die.
Well, because again,
nothing to do.
Time.
Nothing but time, but to poeticize your syphilis.
We were talking about how books from, you know, the 1800s are so goddamn long because they had nothing but time to write.
Every time I look at how many pages I have left of Dracula, a book that I've read probably 3 pages of, it's like, only 13,700 more pages.
Are you, and you're reading it on your phone, which is like kind of insane.
Well, it's tripling the length of it,
I'm
of course.
Sure. And harder to read, I'm sure.
To an extent, I feel like sometimes when I read on my phone, it's kind of like, oh, I'm reading tweets.
Or yeah.
Like, it goes by fast.
Yeah.
Because the chapters are kind of short.
Yeah, right.
But the entire book is long.
Because there's 100 chapters.
Well, yeah, and like the whole first thing is like he's talking about getting on a train. I'm like, yeah, get to meeting the count. I want to fucking meet Dracula.
Well, again, as we were saying, they can't just drop you into the story. It's like you have to be introduced to the story.
Yeah, they do this like really roundabout way of world building where you're like so immersed in it in a way that's actually unhelpful.
Right, because now you're getting confused.
Yeah, you're like, so am I ever going to see that woman ever
and
again?
And this isn't the main character, and we're 5 chapters right. in, mind you.
I'm like, this hasn't been Dracula speaking the whole time.
Like, that's how Wuthering Heights is too.
And let's do a review on the songs that have come out. Loved.
Did you like the trailer?
Well, you know that trailer is like bean flicking, maxing, bean flick maxing.
Well, they, I think they took the feedback from
Saltburn.
no, from the teaser that people were so mad about. Yeah. And they're like, no, it's a love story. It's a love story. It's not sexual. It's a love story.
I thought that they had begun classifying the genre as erotic thriller.
Oh.
Maybe not unlike what Baby Girl might be. What might be called.
That's so funny.
Baby Girl is not a drama nor a comedy. It is an erotic thriller.
And barely. It wasn't even a good thriller.
Well, not, the thing that was thrilling was that there was like fisting.
Yeah.
Like public fisting.
I mean, if you're talking about erotic thriller, like it's not Fatal Attraction. Mm-hmm. It's not like Basic Instinct.
Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. Sorry. But have you read Wuthering Heights?
No, I was not I have to come out and say this. I was not AP Lit.
Okay. Well, I was AP Lit.
I was AP Language and Composition down.
Me too.
Was actually the day that I found out that I got a 4 on that test instead of a 5.
Oh.
I was like truly going to crash my car.
Gifted student vibes.
I was also like, yeah, if you get a 5, you get to like write your name on the board or something. Yeah. Like, I was like, I need that. That's like the only thing I want. Is like you get to like sign a poster that's like, I got a 5 on all of my AP tests. And
yeah.
It was like one that I didn't get a 5 on.
I'm sorry. Did that really stay with you?
Clearly I'm 27 and talking about it. Clearly it happened 10 years ago and it's like very much with
Not
me.
Not really.
You ever get over it? Not really. Not really. No.
Well, I spent 4 months reading it in in my senior year, like, AP Lit class.
Holy shit. Yeah, because, like, you do pick, like, 2 books that you do the entire semester about, right?
Yeah, we did, that one was fall semester.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did Hamlet, or Macbeth. And then we did Fences, which was fun.
Ooh, the play. Something that's nice is at the end of the year, they just throw a lob
at you. A play.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a play.
And Fences.
It was really good.
I was, this is a crazy triple feature to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The year that came out, I watched Fences, into Manchester by the Sea, into Lion with Dave Patel.
Yeah. Dave.
Dev Patel.
Yeah. Dave.
I'm waiting him. I've decided to anglicize his already pretty American name.
Yeah. Wow, that is crazy.
I was
2016 down.
It was like truly like ugly crying.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even want to eat popcorn by the third movie. I was
and
like...
And you saw it all in a day.
So devastating, yeah. Just, like, it was that, like, winter break period mm-hmm. of DePaul, kind of, mm-hmm. where I was, like, hanging out with high school friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, like, spent the whole day at the movie theater. And I was like, so why was it just sad movies?
Well, Manchester by the Sea, I mean...
We'll be part of... Yeah. I mean, Casey's performance. And any movie with white Michelle Williams.
With a bob, like...
Give her a wig.
Give this woman a wig. When she's like, I forgive you. Like...
What's actually, like... The most quotable part of that movie is actually when they're just completely silent, standing...
Can you fucking imagine? You kill your 3 kids in a house fire accidentally.
Yeah, because you're, like, an alcoholic. Yeah.
There's
nothing sad. That almost felt like too much.
I was like, three kids. And one was like a baby.
Right.
Like,
because you're playing poker with like a bunch of your other Bostonians.
Yeah.
And Lucas Hedges. Hey, give it up for Lucas Hedges.
He was really good in that.
He's back in a major way.
In what?
Sorry, Baby.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He was really, really sweet in that.
I gotta watch that.
He's gotta be like one of the foremost boyfriends I see in my life.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared for a while, too.
Yeah.
Because it was him and Timmy, you know,
they were kind of competing, like, in Lady Bird.
Yes.
Timmy got the funnier role. The more fun role, but Lucas is the one. Yeah. That's one that sticks with me.
I just need some time, and when he's, like, coming out,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and they hug, in that alley or whatever. So good.
We can't get back
out. We can't. I'm like, we already did a whole episode on that. We should get in the movies that we watched this episode, huh? Cheese break.
Yeah, sorry, I had a break for some cheese.
Okay, well, the movies that we watched for this episode.
We're traveling to LA today.
Today we're, okay, close your eyes. We're in Erewhon.
But also not, because these.
It's the past.
Yeah.
Erewhon hasn't even been an idea yet.
No. Because Nightcrawler was, like, in real time. Like, 2014 vibes.
Yeah, but it was like what it was about a photographer mm-hmm. that had been doing that job for quite some time, right? Ouija.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're jumping the gun a little bit. Sorry. We watched Nightcrawler and The Bling Ring.
And
just to open my mouth.
Yeah, sorry.
Just to open my mouth thinking about Emma Watson. Just
okay, we'll get into it.
Do you want to explain The Bling Ring?
Yeah. We just gotta like get out of the way up front. Jerwin did not like it.
I wouldn't say that I hated it. It did offer a lot of I think that this opens a door for other movies that like aren't like amazing mm-hmm. movies or like
but impactful. Like,
yeah. This opens a cool door because we've only really done movies that we both adore as double features.
Yeah.
But
I adore this movie.
We both got to knock stuff off of our watch lists through this. And The Bling Ring, yeah. To put it lightly, I hated it.
Did you really?
No.
Okay.
No, a little bit.
No. Okay, we'll get into it. We haven't discussed this, so this is like
even when we watched live. It, we jumped right into I Love LA.
I know.
As a palate cleanser.
We're obsessed with LA right now.
We're so Los Angeles.
Not really.
Right now. Nope. Not really.
Not really.
Oh, so The Bling Ring.
Yes. 2013 movie mm-hmm. directed by Sofia Coppola. Our first...
Love you, girl.
Coppola film.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. That we've done on the pod, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
And it's this one.
based on a mega true story.
Shoot, like this one of the realest stories to ever happen, in that it did.
It did, and like the movie is almost an exact... copy of like what happened,
right? And so that I think, not to jump the gun a little bit too much, it was such a faithful adaptation mm-hmm. that I was kind of like, have some fun with it, like Sofia, you have such a fun mind.
Yeah,
something crazy.
Yeah.
But captures it pretty time much to a T. Yes.
Okay, so this was a real story. I think the original crime spree happened in like 2007 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And these teenagers in LA just went on this like spree of breaking into celebrities' homes and stealing like $3 million worth of merchandise.
Yes, it was like $3.2 million that they had to pay back in restitution or something.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So they broke into Paris Hilton's house, which they filmed in. It was her real house and real closet. Which,
that is so cool.
Like,
that is
really cunty.
Paris being like, I've sure. moved past this.
And she made a cameo.
Yes.
Audrina Patridge from The Hills. I was a big Hills girl.
You genuinely were like, she was the most stylish one.
She was.
Time, so
she was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miranda Kerr and Orlando Bloom. Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan during one of her lowest moments.
During 2007.
Kicking a girl while she's down. Talk about women not supporting women.
Let her get a DUI. Whatever.
Literally. I crashed my car into a bridge the other day.
I don't care. And then it's just about kind of these people's obsession with fame and proximity to wealth and status mm-hmm. and their eventual downfall, because obviously they were 17 and mm-hmm. stupid and
right,
they got
not
caught.
Wearing masks.
No!
Actually, it's like, I think that this movie did a really good job of capturing teenage boredom.
Yes.
On like such a high scale. I feel like Sofia loves to talk about that, like
teenage.
As an idea, like
she
the malaise of a teen. Yeah. The ennui of like boredom of being 17.
Yes.
Like, captured very well in this movie.
She does it better than anyone.
Because even in the moments where we're supposed to be convinced that they're having a blast, it does not look fun at all.
Yeah.
Like when they're at the club, they're all on their phones,
mm-hmm.
which feels chilling now because that is what clubs do feel like sometimes. I'm like, whoa, but Blackberries instead of iPhones.
And Thaisa.
Oh, our and first Thaisa flick on
of
the
many,
pod.
I'm sure.
There's actually countless things that will. She'll come up again and again.
Don't worry. Fall in love again and again.
So she, yeah, so that's The Bling Ring.
Yeah. And then they get caught. Mm-hmm. They get sentenced to jail. The characters, they had to change all the names of the people for like legal reasons, but like Alexis Nyers.
Icon cunt.
Little Brown BB Shoes.
Mary Jo.
Nancy
Jo.
Sorry.
You're like
Nancy Jo. This is Alexis Nyers calling. Emma Watson, we'll get into it.
She needs to be studied.
It's kind of a
morality. In a mental facility.
The story's kind of a morality tale, a little bit of a... They get their comeuppance, if you think of it as a comeuppance, you know?
I mean, another part of that movie is I don't think they necessarily did anything wrong.
No, I don't think so.
The doors were unlocked.
And they all that shit was probably insured. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like they didn't do anything actually wrong. They just like played dress up. Which is like, they weren't like hurting anybody.
No. It was like.
Oh, so Paris Hilton's missing a couple pairs of shoes.
I doubt she'll live. Yeah. They robbed her 8 times and she didn't notice.
They were going into her house like it was like a third space. Like that was their Starbucks lucky. They were like dancing on the stripper pole being like, this is just what we call home.
So yeah, that was The Bling Ring. Mm-hmm. And then we watched Nightcrawler.
And Nightcrawler is what I would consider a vehicle to absolutely flick your bean into absolute oblivion because it's Riz Ahmed and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Bro.
Jake Gyllenhaal abusing the fuck out of Riz Ahmed as like a worker. If you can call it that.
We'll get into it.
Basically, it is loosely based on an actual photographer named Ouija. And it's about this profession called stringing.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, people will take videos of crime scenes and stuff and sell it to like news outlets. Jake Gyllenhaal plays this character that is just like kind of
Lou Bloom.
He's kind of like descending into madness as he gets more and more obsessed with this profession.
Yeah. And chaos fucking ensues.
Talk about a morality thing. The ethics in that are just like, it was really cool to watch them like dunk on the news and like unethical journalism.
Yeah, because you hate journalism.
I think the perfect amount of distrust in journalism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would consider my distrust in it. In journalism, perfect. I have healthy skepticism of journalists.
As you should.
I mean, and this movie does a really good job of being like, no, this is the story. Like that last scene where she's like, this is the story. Mm-hmm. And like an actual like ethical person trying to be like, we have to give the public all the information. And she's like, no, we don't. We control what the public sees.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that movie does a really good job of like making the audience feel complicit in its like
very
cinematography.
So.
Yeah. Like with how much like is filmed through screens and like how many like pictures and pictures there are, like it makes you just like think about that system almost entirely throughout the movie.
I'm gonna go ahead and think about that system.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's this system.
It kind of gagged me.
It
gagged me.
I was so surprised. Jake Gyllenhaal lost 20 pounds for this, too.
I know. For like kind of no reason.
Crazy.
He looked like Brian Koberger down.
Burger.
Burger. He looked nothing burger. You know, like the Idaho murder killer?
Yes, yes, yes. His cheekbones were so sunken and his eyes were like bugging.
It was like he was being Patrick Bateman down.
Yes.
Like down.
Really impressive showing. Like, it's not that I think that Jake Gyllenhaal's a bad actor. Yeah. Actually, like, was, like, really...
I think he's a good actor.
I was respecting him for his craft in this one. Yeah. It was, like, unrecognizable from any of the other roles I've ever seen you play.
Yeah.
Like, Donnie Darko, You're a Kid.
Love and Other Drugs.
I did not see that one.
I saw it a long time ago. It's on my list.
Plain-ass movie.
Yeah. Well, not because they fuck a lot in it, so it's not a good plain movie.
Well, if you're a pervert, yeah. If you're a pervert that wants to make other people watch Raw Dog fucking on the plane, yeah, that's a perfect movie for you.
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh!
Prisoners.
I forget that Brokeback Mountain is Jake Gyllenhaal.
I know.
Because you're only thinking about Heath.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute like thrill ride.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just becomes like more perverse throughout. I think that these movies exist in a cool way where it feels like Nightcrawler is like addictive, while like Bling Ring is like the antithesis of like they're not getting super like high off of these like break-ins.
But they're like kind of wanting to.
They like wish to be stimulated by it, but like nothing will satiate.
Yeah,
they're neither like they literally get drugs, like they get blow from one of the houses, and like it still looks like they cannot experience the highs.
They're fucking bored.
Yeah.
The whole time. So, okay. Yeah. Let's get into the bling ring. Because I think...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the bling ring... I think it was too faithful of an adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
I was like wanting more of it. Mm-hmm. And then I think that dropping that expectation helps me come to the movie with a little bit more like...
Yeah.
I think watching it, I was like waiting for something to happen. And I was like...
Yeah.
Oh... Unfortunately, that's the point, that nothing, like, kind of nothing does.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of boring.
They, like, get sent to jail, and then, like, all don't really serve long sentences. Mm-hmm.
I think I have a special place in my heart for it, because I was really obsessed with that story as it was happening and, like, the years after. And I love that movie when it came out.
Yeah.
And I think it just really, really, really captures a time and place that is gone.
Yeah,
you know?
We do have to protect the bling ring because it's an archival piece.
At this point, and Sofia Coppola is one of the best at creating a fucking vibe in her movies.
It is like, that is also faithful to the time.
Yes.
Like, it's not like trying to be overzealous in its fashion. It mm-hmm. literally is like, this is exactly what they wore.
Exactly.
Just some of the ugliest clothes of all time. Like Akira down.
It was Akira down. It was Akira down. That blonde girl... Chloe, I think her name was.
Little Miss Fierce, one movie, and then she's completely out of the acting game. She walked in and was like, I'm going to make this fucking movie, and that's it.
I said, I'm going to make history.
Right? She was fierce. I mean, we got to get an Emma Watson.
Yeah, so Emma Watson.
An actress I already dislike.
Me too.
And it probably has nothing to do with her.
She's a bad actress. We can say it.
Right. I think it's mostly the fault of the industry for putting her in so much when she clearly has no displayable talent.
No, and she, like, she's so fucking rich from Harry Potter.
Right.
And you also can't tell that a kid's going to be a bad actor when they're, like, 11.
Right.
You know?
And she was eating Hermione as an 11-year-old. Like, she was eating that up. She was such a bitch.
I thought she was good in the Harry Potter.
Yeah. You know? I mean, maybe it gets kind of bad after Order of the Phoenix for mm-hmm. her. Because, like, she kind of, like, her
she's
character...
She's getting sentient.
Yeah. She's kind of like, I don't really fuck with this. There's something about her that's, like, too academic for me.
Okay.
And maybe it's the Harry Potter, like, typecasting thing. But I think that the bling ring was a fun choice for her because she got to, like, completely stray away. I think that unlike Spring Breakers, where mm-hmm. it's about a child star, like, really jumping off the deep end, she chose... something a little bit more boring in comparison.
The safest way to jump off the deep end.
Right.
You know?
Right. She kind of like didn't even get her hair wet.
I actually think it's kind of an interesting meta thing because had Emma Watson been living in LA at this time, she probably would have been one of the targets of like these people. Right. You know what I mean?
That is kind of funny.
She's like probably just as wealthy as them, mm-hmm. if not more.
Right.
And so famous.
Yeah.
Because this was happening peak Harry Potter. Yeah, this movie came out still at peak Harry Potter.
It was, because 2013 was when the last Harry mm-hmm. Potter was released.
She was, like, one of the most famous women in the world
right.
at this time, you know?
That baffles me.
Like, and it kind of like, gags me that she's, like, you know, this meta thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because she knows what it's like to be the celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And then she gets to, like, cosplay as the people who were, like, thieves.
Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah.
And Leslie Mann, this movie was really, really fun, too.
But, yeah, Emma Watson's doing some of the worst accent work I've ever heard in my life.
And you know it's actually my bread and butter when somebody's bad at doing an accent. I actually think that that type of acting is... It occupies such a specific part of my brain.
Yeah.
Like Nicole Kidman accidentally sounding a little bit Australian during Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
Like whenever she's in therapy, she randomly becomes a little bit Australian.
Which is so funny because she's such a good actress.
Right, but sometimes she just cannot. I'm like, y'all use that take where she drops it for 30 seconds. Yeah.
There was something that Emma Watson said in this that I'm like, okay, we're in London.
Yeah,
you know
Oxford
what I mean?
Down.
Yeah.
No, she was... She looked like she was fighting for her life. And
she's so beautiful, though.
She is really pretty.
She's so beautiful.
She's undeniably pretty.
Yeah. I want to rob.
Well, she made history. It's undeniable that she's pretty and that she made history. We're not going to ever be able to take that away from her.
No. And did she bring the kind of star quality panache that Alexis Nyers has? No.
But that's untouchable.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would actually struggle to find. Who do you think could do it now?
Oh,
is there anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably like Anna Kendrick.
You know what? I feel like Mikey Madison could do it, or something.
Right. She has a harder edge than Alexis Nyers, though.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
She is kind of like a little bit more punchy.
Yeah, but she could maybe be like the ringleader girl.
That would be fun. Yeah. I think that the girl who did that role was also really good.
Yeah.
And
kind of us down.
Yeah, a gay guy. Whenever you're like, I don't know what to wear to go out tonight, and I'm like, let's get some scarves on, girl. Like,
that, no. I meant that trailer I sent you and you sent the screenshot back.
Oh, like, my God. Us. That's going to be like, actually in the shitpost for sure.
I put it in.
It looked like us. Yeah. All switched around.
Yeah.
It looks like if we were like getting teleported in like our...
Like upside down and backwards. Yeah. Why did you not like it as much?
Well, I think that I was expecting there to be more because also the story itself, like when something's happening in real life, it's like, wow, that's crazy that happened. And then when something's like fiction, I'm kind of wanting there to be like crazier stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the break-ins, I'm like, I wish that there was like more stylization, mm-hmm. like that one of them, like with just the long shot of them breaking into that house, like it's like a dollhouse essentially. That felt really cool. And I was like wanting more of like, that's like cinematics stylization.
Yeah. It was very documentary like.
It felt like a documentary. And it also was trying in some points to be a documentary, right? Like a mockumentary.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I think that it didn't pick a lane as much as I wanted it to. Because
I get that.
There were just like random interview shots throughout the movie where you're like, we haven't gotten one of those in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why is, like, Israel Broussard, like, just, like, talking straight to camera?
Yeah, yeah. I get that.
And I don't have the nostalgia factor. Like, I'm watching this in 2025, which I don't think is, like, ideal.
No, I don't think this was even very well received when it came out. It's, like...
But if you're a teenager watching this, it's fucking fun.
Yeah, it was fierce. Yeah. You know, I'm like, fuck, I'm jealous, you know?
I'm going to bring back skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Single-handedly, we will do that. Raptor's one contribution to culture is that we will bring back the skinny jeans.
Dude, I've been kind of eyeing them. Like, some black skinny jeans.
There's, like, nothing like them.
I think with an oversized top...
I want to look like those kids on Tumblr that are standing in front of that fence.
Yeah.
Like, I want to dress like that.
Yeah.
Like, that is definitely, like, one day a week I'd love
American
to...
American Apparel. Oh, my God.
Miss her.
It all comes back to 2013. Like, we cannot stop.
We can't escape it. Like, we're stuck there.
I came in like a wreck.
I'm 15, you're 14.
Yeah.
I'm penny boarding still.
It's just, like, kind of fucking magical.
It's mystical, magical. Moonbeam ice cream.
Moonbeam?
It's a moonbeam ice cream. 2013 is low-key our moonbeam ice cream. Sentence that means nothing, by the way. Should we get into Nightcrawler?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
Take me through your experience of watching it.
So, okay. This has literally, I think, been on my watch list since it came out.
Yeah.
It's
almost 10 years. It's more than 10 years old
more
now.
More than 10 years, yeah.
you guys, Elizabeth was picking a wedgie.
Okay. And, spreading rumors and nastiness. I just the entire time, like, I don't really talk during movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a pet peeve of mine when people talk or like on their phones during movies. Right. But Kyle and I were watching it and I kept going, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, he kept gagging me.
Yeah. You know, because, yeah, you're fighting the urge to not talk to.
Yes.
And, like, things are just, like, coming out. You're, like, I think when he gets into that house where, like, all those dead people are.
Yeah. When Riz Ahmed walks up to the car and you realize that the guy is still alive and he knew that he was still alive.
And he was literally staging his death.
Oh.
That shit could have made me cry.
I was sad, like, when he basically coerced the news director into, like, being in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. I also like He didn't get his comeuppance, you know?
No, he actually, like, failed upward.
He succeeded. Yeah, talk about failing upward.
He has 4 employees now. Yeah. his company actually tripled in size.
He was also making me laugh. Like, it was kind of funny.
His dialogue was so funny.
His line reading.
I think to have such an unethical character who speaks like HR.
Yeah.
is so, like, cosmically funny.
It was, the writing was so good. Mm-hmm. Amazing tension building. Mm-hmm. The way it was shot was so crisp. Yeah. And the color grading was fucking amazing.
That one scene where the lighting is just so crazy. It's like him talking an inch away from the news manager's face. Mm-hmm. And then Riz Ahmed's dead body is on the screen staring into the camera watching them talk. It was about beautiful. I was like, that's a painting.
It was this, like, the opening shots. I said to Kyle, I was like, these look like photos.
Yeah, like, you know? That last one when the cars are veering, like the two vans for his mm-hmm, production company mm-hmm. are like, they like meet at a corner and then both go off. One goes to like a dark area and the other one is like super lit. I'm like, that's a photo. Like,
yeah, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, the upping the ante, it kept me on my fucking toes. Like,
yeah.
I like how it put the lens back onto the consumer mm-hmm. and that it's like this parasitic symbiotic relationship where it's like, yeah, people eat that shit up. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And
her explaining the news network's like thesis, being yes, like,
chilling.
Oh, we want these stories, so people rich think white this, people, so people think this way. Like, our whole network is dedicated to showing that crime is moving into the suburbs.
When they were showing the footage of the dead bodies on the news, and she was talking into the newscaster's earpieces, being like, more, like grislier, graphicer, like this is scary, make it scarier.
Right.
Oh my God.
That was a really, really cool scene. Like, I would love to see the screenplay of that, because it's like they're talking at the same time and having to react to her things. It's like, that felt like really impressive writing to mm-hmm. me. It felt like theatrical in this like really cool way.
Yeah. This would be a cool play if you could get it on the stage. It is kind of like structured in that way.
I could see it being like a Sunset Boulevard-y type of thing. Yeah. It's like really like sometimes a little woo-woo and
stripped
like
down.
It could be really cool.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you think? Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before, which why I was like apprehensive at first, because I was like, I know that it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Like the Rotten Tomatoes score was 95.
It's like 95, yeah.
I was like, damn, that's crazy for like a director that like also doesn't really make a lot of movies anymore mm-hmm. or like makes bad ones. Josh was being like,
yeah,
crazy that he like walked in, did this movie, and then just like complete horror.
Did Roman J.S. Israel Esquire?
Yeah. I was really impressed. I think that the cinematography was just like really exciting.
So beautiful.
And like has like, I've been like really interested in like Brechtian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that thing that like the breaking of the fourth wall is kind of the main premise to like make an audience feel certain emotions mm-hmm. and I think that in Nightcrawler you're like the amount of fourth wall breaks or the amount of times that you're like, oh, it's being produced.
Yes,
like this is all being produced.
Yes.
There's that, I wrote this one quote on my phone during it, and it, maybe it's not even going to be like that philosophical now, but it's when he's standing in front of the backdrop of the news
mm-hmm.
and he goes, on TV it looks so real.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I bet it does, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, that
thesis.
I'm like, that it was such good like little things to be like reasserting the thesis and then like building the stakes every single time.
Definitely. When he cut the brakes of the rival van,
Gagged.
Like, I don't know. I kept being shocked, even though I knew that this was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
The lengths he's willing to go and the lies and manipulation. It just, oh my God. I was like,
just an insidious man.
Insidious. And had he kind of been dealt a different deck of cards in his life, he would be the CEO of like a Fortune 500 company.
Right. You know what I mean? Who's to say 10 years later, maybe his company now is legit. Like,
well, and I
was only profitable.
It is only profitable. Yeah. He was making fucking bank. Yeah. You know, I was reading it about the writing of it from, because the director wrote it too. And he said, I purposely like didn't give him a character arc. He was bad from beginning to end and he got no repercussions for it.
Yeah.
You know?
That feels, that's fun in comparison to The Elden Ring too, where they all of the characters also don't have arcs.
Yeah.
They get the law, I guess.
They get caught, like they're, but they're, I think both of these movies are about obsession and status and having things that you don't have and like coveting.
Yeah.
And the Bling Ring, it drives them in, I guess you could say, an insidious way, but like, yeah, it's mostly out of like boredom and like malaise, right, you know, and just to have proximity to fame.
Yeah.
And in, I mean, Nightcrawler, it's just like obsession and like power.
Yeah.
Crushing people, you know.
Yeah, control. Like, him like literally like producing these crimes, I guess, you know, to an extent. Like, I thought that it was one of the most perverted movies.
It really ever. Was.
Like, he was like such a sick guy. I was like, that is, kept me on my toes.
It kept me on my toes. And if you haven't seen it, basically he like, Riz Ahmed is like his employee that he's like hired for $30 a day.
Right. Which he's kind of the audience conduit too. He's like,
yeah.
Because he's the one, like, reasserting, like, wait, we should be calling the police. Like, hey, he's, like, the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. And then...
Well, there has to be, because there wasn't another one in the fucking movie.
Right. Yeah. And then, like, I guess, yeah, when you watch him die, it kind of felt like in Spring Breakers when Selena Gomez leaves.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, he's going to always get away with this.
Right, and, like, the last good voice by him is gone.
Right.
You know, and it's just going to descend... So basically, like, Jake Gyllenhaal kind of, it's kind of hard to explain, but like, he was following these guys to try to get he set them up basically to get shot out by the police and then followed them so he could get it on video. Mm-hmm. And the van with the bad guys like flipped over and Jake Gyllenhaal like walks over with his camera. And he's like, calls over to Riz Ahmed. He's like, oh, he's dead. Like, come get the shot. Like, I'm going to stand over here.
Yeah.
Riz Ahmed walks over.
Gets.
He's not dead.
Get his shit rocked. Yeah, and gets his shit rocked.
He fucking. Bro. Oh, my God. He shoots him. And Jake. Oh, my God. Jake Gyllenhaal standing there just like getting the shot.
Yeah.
So
that
chilling.
Was one of the most perverted. Sending your only confidant friend.
Your employee. Like.
The news reporter or the news lady also being like, wasn't he your partner? And then he's like, well, I mean, I wasn't going to sacrifice the shot for an untrustworthy employee. I'm like,
I was seeing, so gagged.
Another like parallel to the Bling Ring too, I think, is like seeing things as dollar signs, seeing things as like transactional and stuff. And like, you can watch him literally put assign value to things.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, says how much things should be worth.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does that with, like, life.
Lives, yeah. And I, it's almost like in both of these movies that they see these worlds that they want to be in, and they're almost kind of playing dress up with them and stepping into them, but, like, they'll never really be it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He's not being a journalist. He's literally, like, setting things and props and, like, he's kind of being, like, in essence, like, a godlike figure in those ways.
Yeah.
And he's just capturing it.
Yeah.
So, like, there's that element of, like, dollhousery in it. Like, he's, like, placed those men to get shot at by the police.
Yeah,
and then, like, in the Bling Ring, they're being the dolls, I guess. Like,
yeah,
they're, like,
yeah.
They're putting themselves in these, like, play worlds.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because in the Bling Ring, it's like they're all privileged. You know what I mean?
They can have that stuff.
Yeah, they're all kind of in that world.
Right.
And but it's not enough. You know, like they want to be Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm. They want to be Lindsay. Like that line where they're like, oh, Lindsay Lohan's gonna, like, talked about you, like, in her, like, court case or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my God, wait, what did she say?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like she's being sentenced. Yeah. Or like she's being, like, yeah, interrogated by the cops.
You're like, did she think my clothes were cute?
Yeah. Like,
what about my hair?
And that's a real quote, like, that actually.
See, that is what's fucking crazy about the Bling Ring. It's like, oh my God, these kids are so vapid and bored.
Yes. And boring. Like, they're boring people.
Talk about nothing burgers.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, like, the club scenes, it's like they're in. This seems to be, like, the club. Like,
right. They literally see Paris Hilton at the club. Yeah. Right?
And Kirsten Dunst.
And they're like, she's always here. I'm like, that's okay. I'm like, and you're bored.
Right. It's like you're in this world and, like, but it's still not,
like,
they want to, like, wear her skin. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, both of the, like, protagonists of the movies, mm-hmm, I feel like, are like, nothing will ever be enough for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, their desires, like, outweigh everything else. Like,
they're
morality.
Like vampires.
Or, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. He is a fucking vampire.
Oh, big time.
Lou Bloom. That's fucking Dracula.
Jake Gyllenhaal said that he thought of him as, like, a coyote, like, just kind of roaming around at night and, like, eating the scraps of stuff. You know?
Oh my God. Actor's process is so fun. Like,
so
that is so cool to dig into.
And I also, these movies are both kind of like juxtapositions of an LA. One's kind of at the top, and then one is, like, the seedy,
like,
underbelly of, like, just gross mayhem, you know?
Yeah. And all of it is, like, artificial, it feels like.
Very.
Because, I mean, like, controlling the media narrative in Nightcrawler, and also just, like, the houses in Bling Ring, you're just like, all this is so heavily, like, curated.
Yeah.
In this way that's, like, feels unreal.
Well, even, the celebrities' homes they break into, it's, like, they all feel really cold and, like, impersonal.
Yeah.
And they said something about that. No. I think you said something when we were watching, and they were, like, in Paris Hilton's, like, nightclub room. And you're like, I bet she, like, barely even uses that.
She does.
You know?
I'm like, how would this ever be fun to use?
Right. You said you would need, like, 100 people in there to, like, make it fun.
For it to even be a little. And it was so bright.
Yeah.
Like, it was the antithesis of everything that looks fun. But,
to see Kathy Hilton in there.
I'm like, I would love to do a line with Jennifer Tilly. That would be
so funny.
Because everything in theory, I love to announce when I'm like, oh, that looks so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever anything's happening that looks fun, I'm going to have to announce that.
Yeah.
Never once in that movie was I like, this looks. The most fun was when they were singing All the Lights and they get hit by a car.
Oh my God, dude.
That was the only moment of, like, release and catharsis in that whole movie is when they literally get taken out by that car. And then the next scene, like, nothing fucking happened.
Well, you know what? I actually kind of like, I feel like the tone of it was so mellow because these people were so fucking boring.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it actually, like, played into it well.
Yes.
You know?
That, I mean, like, once you understand that this movie is also about, like, their boredom and how nothing will ever, like, awaken them,
mm-hmm,
it, like, you begin to understand how, like, dark that is.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. Like, both of these movies are very sad to me.
Definitely.
Well, Nightcrawler, like, duh, but,
yeah,
you know.
Well, Nightcrawler at least got my heart rate up.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the stuff that you're seeing is, like, really, really gruesome. But I think Bling Ring is more bleak.
I think so, too.
Because it literally is, like, oh, yeah, and then you'll just go to jail, and then that'll pretty much just be it. Like, everything being so, like, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, in real life, like, Alexis Nyer's got a reality show from it, you know?
No,
it's like,
and I think that if you go on my Facebook profile right now, my cover photo is still,
fuck yeah,
Her talking on the phone.
Fuck yeah.
Every time that you interrupt me, I have to record it again.
She's actually kind of, like, turned her life around now. Like, I think she was, like, really addicted to drugs for, like, a long time.
Classic.
And now she's, like a mom and, like, sober.
That's fierce because when she's like, I actually do a lot for my community.
I know.
Emma Watson delivering that, being like, yeah, we make, like, houses or something.
I thought that was her best work in that movie, I think.
In terms of speaking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting the words out.
For sure. Yeah. Kind of like one of the top tenets of acting is getting the words out.
Yeah.
Just like how scenes should be in movies, actors should speak.
Okay, and okay. We're bringing it back to that. Okay.
Merch. Do we get into heaven or hell?
Yeah. I mean, do you have anything else you want to say?
I'd love to actually do the double feature of this. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder which one would be best first. Probably Nightcrawler first.
Yeah, and then, like, palate cleanse a little bit. Yeah. I think it takes you to, like... I think L.A. is so specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it... Both movies do a good job of capturing that place.
Yes, in two completely different sides of it.
Yes, yeah. And... I don't know. I think this Bling Ring, it captures like a weird time of celebrity obsession, mm-hmm. and like the MySpace era.
Yeah.
And
what's cool, I think, especially watching it in 2025, is that we have parasocial relationships with celebrity, but theirs was something.
It was like idolatry.
Yeah. It was like they actually worshipped them, and then like them breaking the realm of privacy of like being inside of their homes,
right
that wouldn't feel as insidious now.
No
because we kind of just do that to celebrities. We're kind of like infringing on their privacy, but yeah, there was still a layer of privacy
at that time.
So I think that it does feel like the stakes are higher back then to be inside of a celebrity's house.
And I feel like it was kind of their way of saying, like, you are not a god.
Right. You know? Yeah, like, they're, like, breaking into the Garden of Eden.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You are not. Like, I could be just like you.
I'm literally, like, trampling through your garden.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That type of, like, blasphemous sort of disrespect of celebrity, mm-hmm. I think, also hit way differently at that time.
Agreed.
But now I think that we are a little bit, like... always going into celebrities' personal life. Well,
they're always, we're essentially like, TikToking in their house, you know?
Right, like they're having an AD tour. They're going to do 73 questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely, like, could it have gone a little bit more deeper into, like, the why of it or, like, the meta-ness of it? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's even kind of meta that Sofia Coppola is directing it.
Right, because her dad.
Yeah, she's so in it, you know? Yeah. She's been a Nepo baby since she was born.
Yeah.
Like, I think she also kind of has a unique eye.
Yes.
For that kind of stuff that, yes, I think kind of came through.
It makes sense in her catalog of movies. Like, definitely. It really does make sense.
Definitely. I'm glad she made it. You know what I mean? I'm glad it's out there.
Yes, and I love that kid from To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Oh, yeah.
He was funny. Loved his ugly scarves. The wardrobe department.
The fucking photo booth, like, videos where they think they're, like...
Eating
dough. And they kind of were. Right?
I was like, can't say that he had cake then because I think he was 17. I think he was actually, like, 18 years old. He's our age.
Oh, is he?
Around.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Or maybe a year younger than us.
No, because then he would have been 14 and...
Okay, yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him wearing the heels on the phone in his bed is one of the funnier shots of that movie.
Because, like, Paris Hilton's feet were so big.
That's what's so funny, is like, it's kind of a read on Paris Hilton. Like, this, like, 6'1" guy is the same size she was.
Well, I think that the real people were like, we couldn't take any of her shoes because her feet were so big.
Like, what a good read. Like, it's, I couldn't so even good. Fit in those shoes.
I know.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I think watch it. It's an hour and a half.
Yeah. Oh, know? My God. And it's fun. You know, that's a movie that you can watch with, like, people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can talk during that movie.
We were talking a little bit. For sure. Sofia Coppola always puts amazing music in her movies. Right. It was good. The details were there,
mm-hmm.
to make it, like, not interesting, but. A good movie.
I was like, it's watchable.
It's watchable, yeah.
In terms of being a movie, it's completely watchable. It's,
yeah. For sure.
There are some movies that aren't. I would, like, for example, I think tonight I'm going to watch Eddington.
Oh, good.
Talk about it. A good fucking luck.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Right. Well, I mean, we can have a whole episode on why I don't like Ari Aster.
Yeah, you're doing that to yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, isn't Emma Stone in it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Oh, but yeah, I think she does.
I mean, Grace didn't really like it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see.
I mean, some of these movies that are coming out about the pandemic, I'm like, there are some that I like and some that I think are just, like, so annoying.
What's the other one?
There's a movie that I like called Stress Positions that is about the pandemic, and I think that one's really funny. Mm. You won't hear anybody from New York saying that, though.
Yeah.
Every time I talk about it when I'm in New York or talking to someone from New York, they're like, ew, that fucking movie. And I'm like, you guys just, like, hate when someone makes a movie.
I know.
If you're
Wait, you want to make a movie so bad.
And, like, the guy I was talking to at this party was literally like, oh, yeah, I'm actually working on my own kind of dark comedy. I'm like, I bet you are. I bet you fucking are.
About the pandemic.
Maybe.
Yeah.
if you're brave.
You're like, eating nachos.
Dasha's new pandemic movie, she, like, acted in this, like, pandemic.
Oh.
Like, mockumentary sort of thing. I'm like, I'm really not interested in seeing it.
I'm not intrigued by anything she does.
But I do want to see this Scary on 66th or whatever. About the Epstein stuff.
Oh, I don't even know that was coming out.
It looked really... There's like a trending clip on Twitter, which, by the way, folks, back on Twitter. Oh. Back on Twitter, folks. Got the X app on my phone, not even just using it in the browser.
So crazy.
Deleted my old account so nobody can come back. I just have a little private experience.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Right.
But yeah, Nightcrawler...
Easy watch.
Easy watch.
Easy, you should watch it. One's 2 hours, but I think that I was never at once, like, bored.
Bored. No, not at all. This is one of the better, like, made movies that we've watched.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, really good.
It's, like classic film bro-y,
yeah.
Like, fodder, yeah. Too, I think.
Dare I say, it is some of my favorite cinematography I've seen in at least recent memory.
Yeah.
I thought it was really beautiful.
Yeah. You don't really get movies like that anymore.
No. I can't get over the color grading. It was, like, really beautiful.
Yeah. I looked at my Letterboxd, the curve or whatever, mm-hmm. for, like, 0 stars to 5. Tell me why it looks like I only watch movies that are pieces of shit garbage, because my, like, half star and 1 stars are, like... It's, like, I watch all either 1 star movies or 5 star movies.
Yeah, yeah.
From my curve,
it's Smile 2 and then Dancer in the Dark.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. I did.
Wait,
watch,
yeah.
Dancer
did you
in
watch
the Dark.
It?
Sad. That movie is one of the saddest movies
I
I've ever seen
wait
in my
to watch
entire
it.
Life.
It's Lars von Trier, right?
So it makes sense why it's, like, so fucking crazy.
Yeah,
and Bjork's performance is so good.
Really? Fuck. I'm okay. I want to watch it.
She won Best Actress at the Cannes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
The music is very Bjork, mm-hmm. which is to say, at some points, completely unlistenable.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's very, like, it's really exciting to see that in, like, a musical setting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the cinematography felt really fun.
Good.
It's, like, shot on handheld, so it's
okay.
I'm gonna like it. Movies that are like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna like it.
I like that.
I'm gonna
shit.
Go ahead and like it.
4.5 stars, because I thought I was
wow.
gonna cry.
Oh, and you didn't?
Didn't. That ending is one of the most scary endings I've ever seen.
I haven't seen it.
Do you know what even it's about?
Well, she's going blind, right?
Yes. Walk in knowing nothing.
Okay,
else,
okay, okay.
Because even the second line that's available on Mubi
uh-huh.
for the synopsis or whatever gives away so much.
Okay, okay.
Walk in with nothing.
Okay.
And you'll be even more shocked.
Okay.
It's crazy. Okay.
Okay.
Wait, oh my gosh, what was that noise?
Fuck. It's time
for
heaven
or
hell.
Okay, Elizabeth, we obviously have to get it right out of the way. Jake
Gyllenhaal's man bun. Oh.
Oh. That's one of the most ugly things that I've ever seen. And I was like, he's so hot. But when he was tying up that little top
knot. I know.
Knot,
oh, no. Oh. Dude, he was Patrick Bateman with a fucking man bun in this movie.
That's what made it so 2015.
I know.
Like 2014,
down.
Patrick Bateman
yeah.
would literally have had the littlest little top knot.
It was like so, like that's hell, like obviously. And I'm going to say,
hell.
Okay, heaven for his acting, but like his gauntness and eyes,
mm-hmm.
hell.
We need men to be fat again.
Yeah.
Get men to be a little fatter.
Yeah, they're always losing a lot of weight for a role.
Yeah.
You know?
Christian Bale, I liked you in The Big Short.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I liked when you had a big belly.
Christian Bale.
Well, we'll get to him. Yeah. Like, he is foremost.
Eyes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whoa. I'm like, I'm
blushing.
I'm like, can you hear that? okay.
Your
that's
your
it, guys. okay. Oh, you know what? Leslie Mann's monologues that she does with her kids.
Oh, about The Secret?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where Heaven. They all hold hands. Oh my gosh. I kind of wanted to start doing that. It's so cornball. I love it.
She was so funny.
And I miss her.
I know.
I'm like, we need her to have a vehicle. Like, give her a Portlandia.
Right,
or something.
That's not a Judd Apatow original. Like,
yeah, that guy needs. Talk about guys who need to take a nap.
I know.
He needs some sleep.
Riz Ahmed.
Well, I mean, he is such a smash, and it's gonna go back to this: him and girls. Him and girls as a surfer.
I forgot.
When he gets Lena Dunham pregnant in Girls, forgot. I'm like, I don't care that happened to you. It should have happened to me. So smash at every single movie.
I need to watch The Sound of Metal.
I think that Grace puts it so perfectly. I refuse to watch that movie because it's one of my biggest fears too.
Oh, okay.
Tinnitus.
Yeah, as a drummer.
That, talk about your life. Like, there was this one girl on this reality show that I love that is going blind.
Oh my God.
Because she looks into the, she's a glass blower. Mm-hmm. She has to look directly into that.
Yes.
Light all the time. Yeah, she's actually going blind because of her profession. But she's like, I will only do this for the rest until I lose my vision.
That's so horrible.
Right.
Okay.
Well, okay, going blind is obviously like all love.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, yeah.
Scary as fuck.
Yeah.
It's got dark. Let's take it back up.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's take it right back up. We're going to talk about Emma Watson's hair.
Oh, heaven, dude. It looked so good.
It looked so shiny.
I knew she was using, like, that Chi flattener, or straightener.
Yeah. Flattener. It was flattening it.
It was 2007.
This hot metal.
Taissa.
Surprisingly, she wasn't in that movie enough for me.
No, she wasn't.
She needed to be in about double the amounts of things that she was in.
Their bandage dresses at the club.
Oh
my God.
They're absolutely, like, glazed over faces while they're dancing. Taissa is going, what the fuck are you doing?
It's so when, good.
Emma Watson's dancing actually in that club is
her best work.
That's gonna go in some like a lot of videos for me. Lot of compilations.
Yeah,
like
a lot of inspo.
I'm gonna make Scarlett Johansson and Marriage Story dance with Emma Watson and Bling Ring. Like that's such a dream. That club I'll go to.
Yeah. I wanna go to that.
Taissa, you will always be famous. The Farmiga family. Seriously, come back to Broadway. We miss you.
We miss you.
Okay. What about this? Has nothing to do with either the movies, but in the vein of this, Rachel Sennett's new show, I Love LA.
I'm gonna give it heaven.
It's
It's
been being heaven. Two episodes in, I can't stop laughing.
Wait, dude, I had a dream. Josh Hutcherson died.
No.
Last night, but he didn't. He didn't. Don't worry.
That was a dream.
It was all
it was
just
a nightmare.
A nightmare.
A nightmare.
No, but it's really good.
I've been laughing.
Yeah.
And Josh Hutcherson, so good to have you back, bro.
Hi. Like, welcome.
Talk about Short King.
Yeah.
He might be the only actual Short King. Him and Bruno Mars.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, if you want to, show us some love.
Yeah.
Feel free to... you know what I've been loving? Comments. You should do comments.
Yeah, you should comment, rate... review.
Five stars only. Tell us what you think of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Instagram at Rapture the Pod, mm-hmm. TikTok at Rapture the Pod.
Yeah, that's follow us.
Wait.
We'll be back.
Okay, love you guys.
Love you.
Okay.
Bye.